So good to see everyone today. We appreciate you being here. It's good to see Bob and Shirley, Bob Moody, a longtime friend. Good to see him visiting in with us today. God bless you and others that are here for the first time. Blessings. I'd like you to turn with me this morning, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I started a series of messages a couple of weeks ago called Navigating Life's Faith Journey, on the subject of navigating through life. And as we started, I shared with you a list of seven things that I believe that God has given the believer to help us navigate through this faith journey that we're on. We face things today that we have never faced in other generations. And so we have to have the Lord helping us navigate to get safely from one point to another through the minefields of this culture and this life that we're in. And I think that list is coming up. The seven things that I believe that God has given us should be on the screen anytime. But I mentioned in the first message about the Bible. And not saying that's the most important thing on the list, but it is right up at the top. How many know we need the Word of God to help us navigate through this life, through this faith journey? And I likened the Bible to our compass that is faithful to point us to true north. And then the next week I talked about the power of prayer and how that if the Bible is our compass, the needle that points north, that sometimes when a storm hits and spins our needle around, prayer is what gets the needle pointing back to true north. Amen? If something rattles our cage, rattles our compass, our life, prayer will bring it back to line. This morning, I want to talk about the third one on the list, the power of God's presence, or the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. And then the next is the power of God's presence, and then the power of trust and obedience to God's will, the power of godly counsel, the power of faith and a faithful God. Those are all tools that God has given us to help us navigate through this life, this faith journey that we're on. And so today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and the presence of God, if I can get those two down. And if I can't, then next week, though, I want to mention that we'll take a break in the series. Our guest speaker next week will be Zach and Chanel. Boy, I'm turning 65 and I'm losing it. Morrison. You'll remember Zach. Zach preached for us a couple of years ago from San Diego area. He is our speaker at the minister's retreat that we will be at next week, not Sunday, but starting Monday next week. And so I've invited him to speak, and you won't want to miss Zach. Chanel spoke at our women's conference one year, and Zach did a great job. He's a great singer and musician, a great preacher, a good friend. And I talked with him the other day, I reminded him. See, Zach's from Southern California. If you're from Southern California, don't raise your hand. I was raised in Central California, so I can say this. But, yeah. Anyway, he's from Southern California. And when he got up here, he saw all the seagulls that we have around. He wasn't sure what those were. He called them chickens. And when he said that on the front row, I was just taking a drink of water, and I spewed the water. I couldn't. So I reminded him that the chickens are still here, all right? So we'll have to tease him about that. But that's next Sunday. That's also the Sunday you turn your clocks back an hour, forward an hour. And then after that, then I'll continue the series. But now it's John 16. Navigating our faith journey with the power of the Holy Spirit. Before I read this, let me just remind everyone that as a church, as an organization, and personally, I believe in the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit, as God, is an incredible part of our life journey. And when we receive the Lord as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and becomes a powerful presence to us and for us. And I don't even think we have scraped the surface of what we need to know about the power of the Holy Spirit. I really don't. But there's an incredible power there. And the Holy Spirit is been assigned by God the Father to help us navigate through this life. So, John 16, starting at verse 5, Jesus' words, "But now I go away to him who sent me," speaking of God the Father. "None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper," capitalized, capital H, the Helper, who's the Holy Spirit, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus said, "I will send the Helper to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see me, you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." The ruler of this world did not refer to Caesar. The ruler of the world referred to the devil, to the enemy. All right? "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Verse 13. "However," and this is our navigation, if you will, the navigator. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will," what? "He will guide you." A navigation term. "He will guide you into all truth." Guide you into truth. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Now, flip your Bible over to John 14. Would you do that, please? John 14, starting at verse 15. Still the words of Jesus. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." It's the word in the Greek, parakletos. It means comforter. One who comforts, one who comes alongside, one who is with us to comfort and to help us, "that he may abide with you forever." The word abide, he's going to be inside of us. And he's going to be with us forever. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit will be in you. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you as a helper, as a comforter, as a guide to help us navigate, if you will. "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." How many are glad that Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit? Amen. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He's our guide. The Holy Spirit within us is the unseen determination to go on in the face of enormous odds. If we are on our faith journey, following our example, and we are in the good ship faith, and we are moving toward heaven. That is our destination. That's where we are going to be. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," or many places, many abodes. "And I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." How many know, as we have faith in Christ, one day we will live with him in heaven? Amen. So from point A to point B, from point A, where we are now, to point B, heaven, we're navigating our way there. So the Holy Spirit abiding within us is that unseen determination. If the Bible is our compass, with that needle pointing true north, if prayer is that power that we have to get that spinning needle headed right in the right direction, then the Holy Spirit is that unseen determination to go on in the face of enormous odds. Because that's what you and I face sometimes in this faith journey. We go through things, difficult things, hard things in our bodies, our spirits, our families, our nation, our world, our community. But it is that unseen determination inside of us that says, you can do it. He is that powerful voice that comes to a person when all the circumstances say, you're finished. Something inside you says, I've only begun to fight. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the power of the Holy Spirit that says, trust that compass. Follow that compass. Follow the Word. Follow the Word. Pray. You can push on. The Holy Spirit is that power in the captain of the ship that says, sail on, boys, sail on. It is the power inside the rowers in the belly of that ship with those oars that says, I can push a little harder. I can push a little harder. I can push a little harder. The Holy Spirit is that determination that we can make it. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He helps us know when to navigate, when to turn right or left. The Holy Spirit is that power of God inside of us that pricks our conscience and says to us, this is a wrong move. How many has ever had the Holy Spirit prick your conscience and say, this is not a good move? Come on, amen. This is not a good decision. And yet the Holy Spirit can also say, oh yes, you've made a wise choice. You've made a good choice. Amen. When I met Cheryl and I prayed about marrying her, the Holy Spirit said, you made a great choice. Almost 40 years ago, praise God. Or 45 years ago, I'm sorry. I get all those numbers mixed up. You made a wise choice, really. The Holy Spirit is that power within us that says you can make this. There is no question that as we try to navigate on faith, on our life's journey, our faith journey, that things are not always going to be smooth. Things are not always going to be smooth and sweet for us. Yesterday I was driving up to the camp and boy, a gully washer. I don't know where you were, but it just downpoured. And you know, it didn't bother me a bit. Because we Northwesterners, we're used to that, right? We're hardy folk, you bet. You know, in Southern California, and I respect all those folks, you know, in Southern California. I was one at one time. But they just got like 2 inches of rain, and they closed the state down. And I don't want to make light of what happened, but I'll tell you, up here, 2 inches of rain, we're jumping and saying, glory to Jesus. We didn't have 20. Amen. We're hardy folks. We know what it is to have storms. But and really, there's no comparison. Because if you're in Southern Cal and you get a couple inches of rain, that is a big storm for them. And they have to handle that. Up here, we can take 10 or 20 inches and we don't care. That's a storm for us. But it doesn't matter where the storm is. When the storm hit, it rocks your boat. Come on. And yet we can have some doozies up here. How many remember the Columbus Day storm, right? Boy, we have some doozies here. So no matter where you're at in your life journey, in your faith journey, you're going to face some storms. But it is the Holy Spirit that is the grit and determination that says you can make it through this. Cheryl and I just recently watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge, which is the true story of a soldier named Desmond Doss, who was a conscientious objector. And he went into the military. He volunteered to the military, but he didn't want to carry a gun. He didn't want to take life. He wanted to help life. He wanted to be a medic. And through that process, I won't give away the plot or anything, but it's an excellent story, true story, of how Desmond Doss went with his fellow soldiers, who at first rejected him. They didn't like him. They didn't want him to be there. But as a medic, he had the responsibility of to help save lives. And they had to take a hill, a Hacksaw Ridge. They had to climb up the side of a mountain on the island of Okinawa in the South Pacific during World War II. And it was a slaughter. It was a massacre. There were casualties on both sides, but enormous American casualties. And when the order came for Doss to leave, he said, I can't do that. I'm here to save lives. And he rushed back into the midst of fire and he pulled out one and put on a harness and lowered him down to safety. And then he went back and he got another one. And they kept saying, Desmond, you've got to leave. You've got to leave. He says, I can't. I can't. And all the time that he is saving one more life and one more life and one more life, dragging those men, he's praying this prayer. He's praying, Lord, help me to save just one more. Help me to save just one more. Exhaust exhausted through the night into the next day. The field hospital kept getting people who were wounded, and they said, where are these men coming from? They said, they're coming from Desmond. He won't stop saving lives. That's the determination of the power of the Holy Spirit that you and I need to have to make it through this life. Amen. Lord, help me save one more. Help me save one more. Give me the strength to save one more. You see, Desmond Doss could not do that in his own strength. It was in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directed him where to go and what men to help that he could save. And on the story goes. It's an incredible miracle of the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit within us keeps us driving on in this faith journey and will not let us give up. Because, folks, we can't give up. Amen? Until the day we breathe our last, we cannot give up hope. We cannot give up on following the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an incredible pull from our culture that wants to pull you and I away from our faith and to make our faith insignificant. But I'll tell you, it is the most important thing in my life is my faith in Jesus Christ, my faith in God Almighty. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that helps me navigate, if you will, to help me get through this life, especially when the storms hit us. Now, I don't have time this morning to talk about the full scope of the Holy Spirit. That would take weeks to even get started. But sufficient it is for me to say this, that the Holy Spirit is that still small voice inside us sometimes that speaks. It is sometimes that strong spirit that speaks. Last week I talked to you about prayer, and I talked to you about the Word, and I talked about how important it is sometimes to get the Word open and then to get down, if you can get on your knees, and fortunately I can still do that, but if you can't, then you sit. I talked about the three postures of prayer, four or five postures of prayer. But when we get out and we start reading our Bibles and we begin to pray, or we sit down at the table, this is Cheryl's thing that she does. She sits at the table, her Bible is open, she begins to pray. Or if you stand up and you're a walking person, you like to walk and pray, and you have your Bible here and you're reading as you walk, all right? It doesn't matter the posture you take in prayer, but as you begin to read and you begin to pray, the Holy Spirit takes that as an invitation to speak. And He will speak through that Word that you read. That Word will come alive. Maybe not every time. Sometimes you may read it. You think, I'm not getting a thing out of this. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is taking that Word and planting it in your heart and will use it at some other point in your life. I guarantee you, He'll do that. But the Holy Spirit is also that voice you hear as you read a verse and you hear this little voice that says, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. You say, that's the Holy Spirit's voice? Yes. How do I know the difference between the devil's voice and the Holy Spirit's voice? It's because the devil will never tell you to do something that's going to help you. He is a liar. Everyone say that. He is a liar. And everything the devil says is a lie. So if you're reading your Bible and you're praying for direction, and you hear a voice that says, yes, this is the way you should do it, and the devil says, no, don't do that. You'll be sorry if you obey that verse. How many know that's not God's voice? That's not the Holy Spirit's voice. That's the enemy's voice. Amen? The Holy Spirit. Now, even when you're out and you're just, you're on your job or you're at school or watching the grandkids or whatever, the Holy Spirit may speak to you. The Holy Spirit may speak to you and say, I want you to pray for someone. He'll put someone in your heart and you're in your mind. And a lot of people think, well, that's just a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that if you're working on your job or watching the grandkids or out playing, a hobby or whatever you're doing, and you hear a voice in your heart, the Holy Spirit speaks and says, I want you to pray for Pastor Ed. I would appreciate it if you would do that right then. Come on, amen? Right then. Because the Holy Spirit knows what I'm going through, and He knows that I need prayer. He knows that I need prayer. Somebody was praying for me, I'm certain, a couple weeks ago when I was driving on the River Road, and all of a sudden the song came on my phone. I was listening. This song we sang this morning during offering. And I begin to hear the words to that song. He's my strength, my helper, my strong tower. And I became overwhelmed at the power of God in that car, the overwhelming sense that God was there. And I began to bawl. I told Cheryl, I don't know if I told you, but I was praying. I was just praying, and it was a heavy, I was just praying. And God spoke to me and said, I've got people praying for you right now. Whoever you were, thank you for praying for me right now. Because as I'm praying, I'm closing my eyes on the Washougal River Road. Big mistake. And then I opened them and I realized, no, I got to keep my eyes open. But the power of the Spirit is so strong. But he guided me and he ministered to me. And by the time I got off that river road, I felt like I had been in heaven with Jesus for 30 seconds. And I felt like I could face anything. Hallelujah. I could go on. I could do it because of the power of the Holy Spirit in me. But somebody was praying for me. Now, what's interesting is that that very moment, Cheryl would tell me later. You see, I didn't tell Cheryl that what I did. Till a little later, it slipped out because I know she would be upset with me to know I was driving on the river road with my eyes closed. She said, and I think I've got this right, sweetheart. She said, that's interesting because at that very moment, the Holy Spirit had spoke to me to pray for your safety and to pray for you at that very moment. We compared clocks, and sure enough, hallelujah. When you hear that voice, call on the Lord for that person. Call on the Lord because you don't know, but at that point, that person is trying to navigate something, or they're going through a storm, and your prayers could make all the difference, and the Holy Spirit knows that. Amen? The Holy Spirit, as one of the Godhead, knows everything, just like God. So the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let me read to you John chapter 16, verse 33, and we'll be done. I don't have time to get to the next part of this, God's presence. That'll have to wait. That's probably the best sermon of the seven. Well, I don't know. I don't know. John 16, 33, are we there? Jesus said in verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He will guide us. And truth is the word of God, amen? He will guide us. And then it says this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. I've spoken these things. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you. It's going to speak peace to you. And I've spoken these things that in me you may have peace. How many know this? That you can go through anything if you have peace. If you can go through anything if you have peace. But if you don't have peace, you can't go through anything. That's why the believer has such an advantage to me, because we have the promise of peace that passes understanding. And I know that, having pastored many, many years, prayed with many, many people, walked with them through many, many difficult situations, I want to tell you, peace is the factor that's missing in the world, that is present in the believer and present in the church. Amen? Peace. In me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. That's what he said to the... excuse me. excuse me. In the world, you will have tribulation. The word tribulation in the Greek means to tribulate. It literally means to shake something back and forth. A good example of that, some of you will remember, you younger folks probably won't, but you'll remember those old washing machines, the agitator. Remember the agitator? How many know the enemy is an agitator? And it just literally beats the dirt out of the clothes. That's to tribulate. In the world you will have tribulation. But in those old washers, it didn't stop there. Once it had beat the dirt out of it, they were wet, so you had to put it through the wringer. How many's ever heard the expression, I went through the wringer today? See, just the older folks. Well, what that meant was you were put in that wringer, and that wringer literally squished the water out. And you didn't want to get your hand caught in there, because that wringer is no respecter of persons. I know. I tried to help Grandma one day with the wringer. Eventually, they created a safety latch. Anyway, I don't want to go into that. But anyway, in the world, you will have tribulation. You're going to be tribulated. You're going to have problems that come up. But he said, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And he's not referring to dishwashing liquid there. Be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. I've overcome the world. And how can we overcome the world? We can acknowledge the fact that we have the Holy Spirit within us. The power of the Holy Spirit that will keep us going on. And we can say, Lord, as Edmund Doss says, help me save one more. For us, Lord, help me make it one more hour, one more day, one more week, or one more moment. The Holy Spirit will help you do that. Amen? As you navigate this life. All right, let's stand together. Father, thank you this morning for the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in the believer, that helps us navigate through life's journey. Thank you for the Bible, the compass that we can rely on and trust in. Thank you for prayer that takes that spinning needle when we've been hit broadside and straightens it out and gets that needle pointed back to true north. Thank you for being able to pray, to call on God. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming and living inside of us, for guiding us, for that still small voice, for that sometimes that loud booming voice, but always that constant friend that is there to help guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. In our lives, every moment of every day, because you bring the peace that passes understanding. So right now, Lord, whoever it is that might be being tribulated, whoever's in that ringer right now, let the Holy Spirit come and comfort them and strengthen them and say to them, you can do this, you can make it. You can continue on. God has never forsaken you, and he never will. Be with that young man today who's listening to me, and he's having to make a decision. It's a big one, and he's not sure what to do. Holy Spirit, speak to that young man. Maybe you'll use an older, wiser person and their counsel. Maybe you'll use a Bible verse. Or maybe you'll just speak something deep inside that they just know that they know that they know this is the right thing to do. Holy Spirit, you can use all of those ways. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love for us. And we are so grateful that you abide within us and you bring us peace. Thank you, Jesus. If you're physically able, I want you to lift a hand to God and say, God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're in my life. Thank you that you're there. Thank you that you are my constant guide. Your presence there is so appreciated, and I thank you. I thank you for what you've done in my life, and I recognize that you're there to help me and encourage me and to help me as I navigate through this life's faith journey. And I will call on you every day, Holy Spirit, to help, to guide, and to lead. And I know you'll be there for me, because that's what Jesus promised. He would send the comforter and the helper, and he would come and he would do just that. We thank you for it today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit today. Amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming. Enjoy the rest of your day. May the Lord go with you. God bless.